Chapter 22. Sparta and Athens. Life in Sparta. The Persian Empire was a huge country ruled by just one man, Cyrus the Great. Cyrus made the laws for Persia to follow. He decided when the army would attack another country. He decided how much tax the people would pay. He was a good king, but he expected to be in charge and to have people obey him. Greece, across the Aegean Sea, was a completely different kind of country. The Greeks all spoke the same language, dressed the same way, and worshipped the same gods. They all came to the Olympic Games and feasted together. But the Greeks didn't all obey a single king. Instead, each Greek city made its own laws. Each Greek city had its own army. And each Greek city had its own way of living. The Greeks were horrified by the thought of obeying one single powerful ruler. They liked their independence. Athens and Sparta were the two largest Greek cities, but the people of these two cities lived in very different ways. Sparta was ruled by warrior kings, and all Spartan men were required to be soldiers. Boys went to school, but they didn't learn philosophy, art, and music. Instead, when they were 7, they were sent away to special camps where they learned how to be obedient, disciplined fighters. They were taught to exercise so that their bodies would be strong. They were made to march long distances without socks or shoes so that their feet would be tough. They weren't given very much to eat, and they were never allowed to complain. Spartan boys were expected to be tough and silent. One story from Spartan times tells of a boy who was away at military camp learning how to be a soldier. He was so hungry that he stole a live fox from someone else at the camp. He was planning on cooking and eating the fox. But just as he was getting ready to kill the fox, he saw some Spartan soldiers walking over to talk to him. He knew that they would beat him for stealing the fox, so he quickly hid the fox underneath his shirt. The fox immediately started biting him. But rather than admit that he had stolen the fox, the boy stood up and talked to the soldiers without showing any pain, even though the fox was chewing on his stomach. He suffered without showing it until the soldiers went away. All Spartan boys were supposed to be this brave and silent. When they were 20, boys had to pass a special test of fitness and bravery. If they passed, they were allowed to join the army. They would stay in the army until they were old men. Even if they got married, they weren't allowed to live with their families. Instead, they lived with the other soldiers in barracks. Boys who didn't pass the test weren't allowed to vote. They could never be full citizens of Sparta. But what about the girls? Girls were taught to exercise and be strong too, so that they could be the mothers of more boys who would fight for Sparta. In the ancient world of the Spartans, only fighters were truly important, and the Spartans thought that women were weaker and more timid than men, so the women of Sparta were less important than the men. Spartan mothers were supposed to praise their sons for warlike behavior and reward them for bravery. One Spartan mother told her son who was leaving for battle, "Come back with your shield or on it." Since the losers of battles were forced to give up their shields, here's what she was really saying. Either win the battle or come back dead. Spartans would rather die than lose a fight. Sparta wasn't known for its art or storytelling, but the Spartan army was known and feared all over the world for its bravery and toughness. Today we still call someone Spartan if they suffer pain or disappointment without complaining. Life in Athens. Spartans were expected to obey their king, but the Greeks who lived in Athens had a different way of doing things. Everyone who lived in Athens had a say in how the city was run, because Athens was a democracy. That means that whenever a new law was written, the people of Athens could vote on whether or not it should actually be followed. Each citizen would have the chance to say, "Yes, this is a good law," or "No, this is not a good law." If more people voted yes than voted no, the law would pass. They also voted on their leaders, on how much tax they should pay, and on whether they should go to war. Whenever it was time for the citizens to vote about something, they would gather in the middle of the city at a special meeting place called a forum. There they would argue about whether to vote yes or no. After the arguments, they would make up their minds and then vote. So that they could understand how to vote properly, the citizens had to be educated. They needed to know why taxes were important and whether leaders were good or bad. They had to understand the laws of the city. If they were ignorant, they wouldn't be able to argue properly about the government of the city, and they wouldn't be able to make up their minds about how to vote. So education in Athens looked very different from education in Sparta. The Spartans were expected to obey their king and to fight for him, so they were taught how to be brave, strong, and obedient. But Athenians had to learn about taxes, laws, and government. Athenian boys went to school just like Spartan boys, but they didn't learn how to fight. Instead, they were taught how to read and how to write on wax tablets. They learned mathematics so that they could count and add and subtract. They memorized the poetry of Homer. They learned how to play the flute and the lyre, an ancient Greek instrument that looked like a small harp. Like the Spartans, the Athenians were expected to be strong, but they exercised by wrestling and by racing with each other on foot. Athenian girls were also different from Spartan girls. Athenian girls were taught to be housewives. Some girls learned how to read and write, but all girls learned from their mothers how to be domestic, how to manage a home, sew, raise a garden, take care of children, and manage slaves. Athenian women weren't allowed to vote, but they were expected to keep their homes running smoothly while their husbands were away arguing in the forum and voting about laws and leaders. One of the most famous men in Athens was named Plato. Plato told the Athenians that a democracy had to have educated people in it. If they are ignorant, he said, people who know more than they do will become tyrants and tell them what to do. Was Plato right? Well, let's think about this. Imagine that you've never been taught anything about stealing or about ownership. You don't know that people have a right to own things and to keep them. And no one has ever told you what stealing is. You're completely ignorant. Now imagine that you're on your way to the store with $5 to buy a Lego set. Along comes your neighbor. She's bigger and older than you are, and she decides that she'd really like to have that $5. Hey, she says, don't you know that it's Wednesday? Why is that important, you say? Well, she says, on Wednesday, all smaller children are supposed to give their money away to larger children. It's a law. If you don't give me your money, you'll be breaking the law, and you'll go to jail. You want to do the right thing, and no one ever taught you that there was no such law. So you hand over your money, and your neighbor walks off with it. That's just what Plato meant when he said that ignorant people will always obey tyrants. If you don't know what the law is, anyone can tell you what to do. The Athenians didn't want tyrants to be in charge, so they were careful to educate themselves and their children. The Spartans wanted to be strong and victorious, but the Athenians wanted to be wise and educated. These two Greek cities were very different. Note to parent. The Greek city-states began to arise in the mid-800s BCE. The Athenian and Spartan lifestyles described here date from the 600s.